Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. It's a getaway Friday. February 12th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. It is Friday night. I am in studio with Angie Evers, and it is Valentine's Day weekend. Angie, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Make sure we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
So we're all good right now. It is Valentine's Day weekend. Now, what do you make of the Valentine's Day holiday? Because when I left the air earlier, I was on with Ashley. I thought about it that time. Darn it. Abby. I was on with Abby. I did not do that on purpose. Abby and Michelle. Jeez. Why do you think that comes out that way? I think it must be imprinted in my brain now that I call her Ashley. I don't know.
It's okay.
I didn't introduce her earlier because I felt I would call her Ashley. And right. I probably would have.
I think you're thinking about it too much now. But, you know, tell Abby not to feel bad because you have called me Amy before.
Only once.
Twice. Two or three times, probably.
Well, apparently the brain doesn't work anymore. Maybe. I don't know.
But it's okay.
I'm in a really interesting mood tonight. A good mood.
That's good.
Yeah. It's a weird mood because today was a very weird day for a lot of reasons. It was a strange day. It was a strange day. But, you know, I'm not going to get into exactly why it was strange. But here's what I'll say. What is interesting is timing is everything. Because today's show, I mean, the pastor was on earlier today. And the whole theme of the pastor's show, Pastor Whitaker, was about getting through bad times. And he had somebody on who'd been through a divorce and, you know, how it was awful going through the divorce. But now you look back on it and you say, well, that was probably the best thing that could have happened. And then when I had Abby and Michelle on, a lot of our talk was about the last year. And what have you learned? And what has changed in a year? And so the interesting thing is events that have happened today, and being in the middle of a pandemic changes your thought on a lot of things. Because, you know, I think that there are people dying in hospitals tonight. There are people on ventilators. There is a lot of bad stuff going on. So, I mean, how bad do we really have it?
Not bad.
No. And these things in life, like little bumps in your road are really just that. They're just little bumps in the road.
Right. You'll get through it.
Well, I don't even know that I feel bad. What has taken up time today is dealing with it. You know, just talking to people and that. That's what's taken up the time. I think once that's all done, everything's hunky-dory.
That's good.
Maybe I'll have more free time on my hands pretty soon.
You never know.
I don't know. I just think life is interesting. Because I really do think about people who've got it bad. You know, I think about that a lot. Because I think about people who complain who really don't have it bad. You know, you think about the superficiality of life. Like, I remember someone having their car repossessed one time. And this brought the person to tears, you know, to watch their car get repossessed. And That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next week, their mother died. Guess what? They didn't care so much about the car. The car became a very small deal.
But what was the third thing? Because, you know, they always come in threes.
You know, I don't remember. I just remember the whole mother dying really kind of trumped everything. And for a long time, everything was... It didn't matter. And everything took second place to that. The rest of life did not matter.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, how you have to look at everything. And I have never been somebody who dwelled. About a day is exactly how long I'll give a problem. And then I'm ready. Next day, okay, what's next? Let's move on to the next thing.
Yeah. That's good, because I think people dwell on things way too much, and they just can't move forward because they're still dwelling. And, I mean, I see people like that all the time who can't move on.
Well,
you just have to keep moving forward.
Well, you know, it even in a way comes back to the whole conversation we had with Ted Williams this week about, and I'm not even sure that he is a felon, so I really can't speak directly to that, but that there may be a law in this state that if you are a convicted felon, you cannot run for public office, which that blows my mind. If you have been convicted of a felony and you have served your term, why would you not be able to run for office? What in the world? What kind of incentive is that to turn your life around if people are going to be cutting you off at the knees every, you know, minute? And I think about a kid who's 16 years old who gets a felony because they have marijuana. You can never run for public office for the next 80 years of your life? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right. I mean, I guess that's just how things have been, and that's why people have a hard time overcoming those things, because, you know, they can't move forward because they have all these blocks.
Well, I think you just got to forge ahead. You know, I think one of the biggest problems that people have is they get caught up in the depression of it. You know, they say, well, what can I do? I can't run for office. And then that becomes a depressive moment. And I think what you got to do is you got to say, well, no, now wait a second. I'm going to change the system. Look at what people have went through in life. I mean, I think sometimes, I mean, think about people who lose body parts, legs, arms, people who have strokes, people who have heart attacks, people who have trouble breathing. You know, the whole COVID, and I was telling the girls earlier on, I'm safer when I refer to them like that. I was telling the girls that when you think about how COVID has changed so many's lives, not just the people who have died, who wouldn't have had to, but the people who got it and got very ill from it. You know, you look back on this a year ago and there was nothing like that. Nobody was even talking about it. It was not even on a radar. And, you know, there are a lot of things you can't do. You can't run for office if you're in a hospital on a ventilator. So what trumps what?
Right.
Your health is really always your most important thing.
Definitely.
How have you overcome things that at the time were bad?
Oh, boy. Well, I've overcame a lot of things. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, I have my kids, and, you know, they're really a motivation when, you know, to keep going. You got to do things for your kids, and I don't know. I went to church a lot.
I think church is good. And I think that's why most prisons and most hospitals have chapels.
Yes.
Because I think people can really come to terms with most anything.
Right. I mean, it helps if you can connect to people, you know, that can be supportive to you.
Well, we had a very interesting discussion about people in your life earlier on the noon show with the girls.
Oh, people in your life?
Well, they like to. They lives? Like. Well, I really don't know, to be honest with you. They like to butt into my life. And I'm not really sure what the motivation there is.
Mm-hmm. Curiosity, maybe.
Curiosity, I guess. Curiosity is a great thing to have, though.
You're a curious person.
I am curious about everything. Mm-hmm. I am always interested how things are going to progress. I never say end, because I don't think things really do end. Have you ever noticed that? Things really don't end. You think they end, but they kind of keep going. Nothing's ever definitive in life. Can you think of anything that is totally definitive?
Yes.
Oh, well, give it to me.
Like, when you get divorced.
But even that, I mean, you can stand. At the time you get divorced, you might hate that person. But as time goes on, sometimes if you have a kid with them, you can be civil. Sometimes you even become friends with them. Sometimes you even get sad when something happens to them. It's always changing. Now, that doesn't always happen, but it can. And I guess nothing is just definitive. You know, at the time of most people's divorces, I think they don't want to see the person ever again. They are glad when they're walking out. But, you know, you give that 6 or 8 months, and you're not so... You get a little time in between it. You get a little perspective. And it's not so awful anymore.
I guess it depends who your ex is.
Right, but I think you get easier in... I think you get easier talking about it, and I think you also get easier... like, how many people have I heard when they get divorced say, I'll never be married again. I will never go through that again. And then they're married again.
Right.
So, it never ends.
Well, I don't know. I guess with those certain people, I don't know. I don't know if you... I don't know.
You know, last night, was it last night? I was watching a show. George Carlin, the comedian, was being interviewed. And he was the host. George Carlin's dead now, but this was an older show. And he was a famous... You remember George Carlin, don't you?
You're asking me if I remember somebody?
You don't remember George Carlin? He was a very famous comedian.
No, I have no clue who he is. I don't know anybody.
Well, you do. That's not true.
Not really.
You had some answers earlier on to some things that were on the radio here. In any event, George Carlin was talking about a heart attack that he had had when he was younger. And everybody assumed that the heart attack was because of drug use and some things that had happened in his younger days. And he said, I'm not saying that that didn't contribute to it, but he said, let me tell you what was going on in my life at that time. I was going through a divorce. My wife had a medical issue, and I was being sued by the IRS for back taxes. And that's when I had the heart attack.
Stress.
Right. So was it, I mean, everybody just assumed it was the drug abuse because that's what they knew about him. But they didn't know what was going on in his life right at that moment. And I think if you look at it, you would probably say, well, that's probably what caused it. You were just highly stressed.
Right. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack last year. I was so stressed. I was having chest pain. I ended up at the ER one day. Like, it was bad.
See, that's why no matter how bad the situation in my life, and I'm trying to think of the worst situation I've ever had, I do think about that. I think if I keep, this around, this is not good.
Right.
And it's not going to change anything in the end. You know, that's really what, at some point, you have to learn. Worrying about something never changed anything.
Nope.
You just have to wait for it to happen.
Right. And that's why I had to remove myself from that situation, because it was causing me so much stress and headaches and worry, and life is too short to have to deal with that.
You know who a role model of mine was, and there's something I want, remind me about Phyllis Diller in a second, because I want to talk about this as well. But Joan Rivers, I know you know Joan Rivers. And whether you like Joan Rivers or not, I mean, she's been dead now 6 or 7 years, and she was what she was. But Joan Rivers was on top of the world. She was guest hosting The Tonight Show. She was the first woman ever to do it. She was the hottest commodity in Hollywood. Fox came after her, gave her own show, gave her the biggest contract in late night, and then they fired her within 1 year. And within her being fired, her husband committed suicide in 6 months.
Oh, I did not know that.
Horrible, horrible experience. And then she got estranged from her daughter because her daughter blamed her for her husband's death. For the suicide.
Wow.
So, Joan, and nobody would hire her because they said, well, who wants to watch a suicide victim's try to get up and be funny? So she couldn't work. So she was running. So she did what she had to do. And why this is such an... And she 1 year earlier, she was the biggest name in Hollywood. And what she ended up doing, she first club she ever played, she played a small club that sat like 100 people. In Ohio. I think it was in Cleveland, but it was in Ohio. And this woman who had been on national television, biggest contract, 1 year earlier, is playing a 100-seat comedy club for next to nothing money.
Right.
Just to get out and work. But you know what? She worked herself back. She did. Joan Rivers, and then she started the red carpet. Then she started selling jewelry on QVC. Then she made up with her daughter, and they had a reality show. And by the time she died, she had completely rebuilt herself. And that, to me, is the real test in life. If you look at any successful person in any field, I think you will find that at some point they had a setback.
Oh, yeah.
I think setbacks make you... Would Joan Rivers have been as successful had that not happened? Now, I'm sure she would have rather not gone through all that, but I think it gave her a thicker skin.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
And also to realize it's not all luck when you work yourself back.
Yep. That takes work.
Some people curl up in a ball. But then some people are like a tank. They're like, what else are you going to throw at me? All right, let's go.
Yep. So what were you going to say about...
Oh, Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Phyllis Diller, who I think everybody knows, was an Ohio native and a good friend of mine. She's been dead now for about 9 years. But you did not know who Phyllis Diller was, and I did not realize this, because you've heard her many, many times on this station, right?
Yes.
But last night you got to see her for the first time. It was one of the last things she did. She did a reality show with Roseanne Barr.
Oh, yeah.
And so what did you... I was going to ask you, because I don't think we talked about it. What did you make of Phyllis Diller? First time seeing her and kind of what she did.
Oh, well, I mean, her laugh was something else.
That was her trademark, her laugh.
Yeah. She seemed like a very nice, funny lady. I mean, but yeah, I think I have, like I've told you 100 times, I have been in a bubble of some sort for the last, 20 years, and I have just, you know, work, go home, work, go home, you know? And I guess I don't see what's going on out in the world. Like, I've missed a lot of stuff.
Phyllis Diller, there was just... You know, I think it was her unique... Number one, the laugh, which translated great on radio. But did I... You know, maybe this... I don't know if anybody wants to hear this, but... the Phyllis Diller, this is what I... Because Phyllis Diller was a huge star. I mean, she was... the first female stand-up comic to go do it alone. She worked with Bob Hope. She worked with everybody. And she got to be 85, and she finally retired from touring stand-up comedy. And it was, I'll never forget, I can even remember the names. I had just started in radio about the time that she was retiring from being on the road. And I wanted to interview her because she's an Ohio person. She was from Lima. Phyllis, everybody knew Phyllis Diller. She was a big name. Of course, you want to interview her. So I put in the interview request with her manager, and I still remember her manager's name. Her manager was a guy named Milt Suchin. And I remember Milt called me up one day, and he said, okay. He said, you got the interview with Phyllis. He said, call her at this number at this time. But he even specifically said to me, he said, now understand, ask everything you want in this interview, because it will probably be the only time she'll ever grant an interview, because she really doesn't do a lot of interviews, and she doesn't do, she gets so many requests, she doesn't do more than one with one person. I said, okay, that sounds good, I'll get the interviewer. So I interview Phyllis Diller, get her on the phone, and we had a pretty good first interview. I didn't think it was bad at all. So I hang up the phone, the interview is over. I thought, well, that went pretty well. And like 3 minutes, very little time passed by, and the phone rang. And it said on the caller ID, Phyllis Diller. And I thought, oh no. What did she hate it? Did she gonna call back and critique me? Something she didn't want to say on the air? And I picked it up, and she had a live-in secretary who lived in her house, and it was, and her name was Carla. And Carla said, Miss Diller just wanted to thank you for the interview. And I said, oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank her, because it was a lot of fun doing it. And she said, and she wanted me to give you the home number. If you ever want her again, call here. Don't call her manager.
Aww.
And that's the relationship we had for the rest of my, for the rest of her life, which was 10 years, because she lived 10 years after that. For the rest of that time, when I dealt with Phyllis Diller, I never went through a manager. I either called her house, and I even got her email at one point. I would email her. I got on her Christmas card list. Every year I would get a Christmas card from Phyllis Diller. When she did one of her last talk show appearances in Chicago, she invited me to come sit in the audience. All started with, you're only going to get one. Ask everything you want to ask. So, you know, she was great.
Yeah.
Great to me.
That's special. You have something, you know, you are special because you have the ability to do that. I mean, that takes something. Not anybody can just do that.
Badger people.
Well, whatever it is that you do.
Badger. I don't know. I don't even know what it was, but I'm so glad that I had it, because there are certain people who I probably wouldn't want that relationship with, but she was one that I did. I just really liked her.
Right. Well, you know, after you did that Ashley Williams interview, she sent you a message.
Oh, she did.
She did.
Speaking of Valentine's Day. There's something about her.
Yeah. Well, she's your crush.
Yeah, from like 18 years ago. So it's so cool to be able to work that now. And we watched that movie.
We did.
In January, Never Date a Guy in a Christmas Sweater. Is that what it was called?
No, Never Kiss a Guy in a Christmas... Wait, what was it? Never Kiss a Guy in a Christmas Sweater.
I gotta tell you, though, the movie... It's not going to go down in my history book.
It was cute.
It was a good movie. Yeah. Hallmark did it. Hallmark does a good job with those. But the whole premise, I didn't really get. She injured the guy. How did she injure?
She knocked him over with a Christmas tree.
She knocked him over with a Christmas tree.
He couldn't go on a ski trip.
Right. So somehow he ends up living in her guest house.
Yeah.
For the Christmas holiday. And he hates Christmas. And she's divorced. And her daughter's going with her husband for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they start to like each other.
Right. I think he was helping her at the school because she was like a teacher or something.
Right. And so they're working together. And then, of course, like all Hallmark movies, there's got to be a tragedy. Where you think it's not going to work out. She overhears him on a phone call, which is actually a phone call of him saying he's not going to go back to New York. He's just going to go clean out his apartment and move into the town where she lives. So, but she thinks it's him going back to work. So she, to avoid getting hurt, she breaks up with him. So then they have that moment where he's going to go back and she's not going to, it's all sad now, it's all depressing. And then it was resolved because, didn't he give her the sweater?
Oh, yes.
His ugly Christmas sweater.
Or did he give her a different, I think he gave her a ugly Christmas sweater to wear.
And a trip.
To Paris.
Which is something she said she wanted to do.
Yes.
So then they got back together and they lived happily ever after.
Yes.
It was a Hallmark movie.
Definitely a Hallmark movie.
Good, though. Written well.
Oh, yeah.
Acted well. Good movie.
Yep.
But it didn't, you know.
It wasn't on the big screen.
No, but you know, it was, I could see, we watched it in January, so it lost a little bit of its luster being a Christmas movie, because when you watch a movie in January like that, it's weird. But I think had I watched it at Christmas time, maybe I would have been a little more impressed with it.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was just predictable.
Are they even making movies?
I don't know.
I mean, are people going to the movie theater?
You know, I don't know. You know what I did here? I'm glad you brought this up, though. That Hallmark... See, I don't understand this. Last year when the pandemic was starting, so 2020, they said they were making a Christmas movie, because, you know, it's all Christmas at Hallmark. They said they were making a Christmas movie with Betty White. Now, first of all...
Hallmark?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear this.
First of all, I'm telling you, don't get, like, excited that she's going to be in this movie a lot. You'll be lucky if she's in 20% of this movie. Because she can't do it anymore.
I mean, she's what,
99? At that time, she was 98. So, then Hallmark came out last year and said, well... we're not going to do it because of the pandemic, so we're going to do it next year. Now, here's what I don't know. Is it they've already taped the movie, and they're just going to hold it until this Christmas? Or they're waiting until the pandemic is over to tape it for this Christmas? Because these are two big issues. Because if they taped it last year, they might be okay. But if they're waiting to tape it with her later this year, just... I mean, you might as well. I don't. You know, I think what they're doing. Now, mark my word, and I don't know anything about this movie. They're putting her name on it so it will sell.
Mm-hmm.
She will be in it for about a collective 10 minutes. She probably will not be in any scenes with anybody. She'll probably be like a narrator or something that she could probably still do.
Right.
Why do they keep wanting to drag this woman out? She's not good at this point. I mean, the last few times I saw her, and that's been a couple years now with this pandemic, she wasn't moving all that swift anymore.
Right. And her words weren't real.
No, kind of slowed up.
Right.
And it hard for her to assimilate. You know, isn't it time to just let Betty retire?
Let her rest.
Let her rest. I'm sure she keeps saying yes. You know, she was somebody who didn't have any kids. And her husband's gone, so she probably work is her thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I think that... I'm sure Hallmark will do a good job, but I just wonder.
Hmm. Yeah, that's weird. You know, I was out to the mall today, like the Marion Mall. And, you know, you can't walk, like, into Joann's through the mall anymore.
Oh, really? I did not know this. I haven't been in the mall since we left there.
Oh, well, you're not missing much.
Is there anything left in the mall?
Bath and Body Works. I did go into Bath and Body Works.
Is the movie theater open?
You know, I looked down there, but, I mean, I couldn't tell. It looked like they had things on the board, but, I mean, I haven't been to the... movies in Marion for probably 20 years.
I was just looking this up to see Betty White's... Oh, it's Lifetime. not Hallmark.
Oh, Lifetime. Okay.
Betty White's Lifetime Christmas movie delayed until 2021 due to the pandemic. Your Christmas present from Lifetime will be arriving a little late by 1 year. Her untitled holiday film, which totally needs to be called White Christmas, has been delayed until 2021 thanks to the pandemic. We're still dreaming of a White Christmas with Betty White. Unfortunately, we will have to wait until 2021, Lifetime said in a statement. The movie is being pushed to next year due to COVID filming restrictions. So apparently it hasn't been filmed.
Hmm.
The movie features White's character helping would-be Santas prepare for the holiday season. But the question hangs in the air, is she actually Mrs. Claus? The 8-time Emmy winner and all-time Hollywood legend turns 99 in January. So apparently it hasn't been filmed. And isn't that a great premise for a movie that she's going to help Santa Clauses learn to be Santa?
Interesting. I mean, I can't imagine being part of a movie at the age of 99.
I don't think she's going to be doing a whole lot. And it'll probably be filmed over many days.
Yep. I can't. I just can't imagine.
You know, some, though, people have aged very well. And Betty aged well for a long time.
She did.
But then it all...
It catches up.
But for some people, it really doesn't. You know, some people really do hold up.
Did you see where that, 116-year-old lady had COVID and recovered? Was she 116? They said it the second oldest living person. Wonder how old the oldest living person is.
You know, I don't know. I was just thinking, back to something local. A lot of people in radio remember the name Madge Cooper. And Madge was funny because she never liked to tell her age. Because she was so much older. I mean, when you finally found out her age, she was so much older than the other people at the radio station, because she had, she went to college, she's taught in LaRue before she ever came, because there was no radio. So when Madge came to the radio station, she was already like 31 years old, and everybody else was much younger than that. So people didn't really know how old she was, but they knew who she was. But they thought she was younger because she stayed on for such a long time. So I ended up doing a show with her. And I knew her age. And I remember thinking, boy. And I remember telling somebody who was involved with the show. I said, well, Madge has agreed to come. But, you know, she's this old. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to work. And I'm telling you, she showed up that night. She wasn't using a cane. She gave the speech. She was great. Now, the funny thing was, there was somebody there who knew her. And when the show was all over, and it was a sound man.
Mm-hmm.
When the show was all over, he didn't know her personally, but he knew of her. But he obviously knew, he put the voice with the face at the show. So when the show was over, the person came up to me and said, wow, she's doing really well. She's aging good. And I said, how old do you think she is? And he said, well, you know, she's getting up there. She's probably, you know, 75, 80. She was 95.
Wow.
95. You would have never known it.
Yeah.
She was spry.
Yeah, that's great if you can pull it off.
Well, you saw it when I inducted her into the Hall of Fame. She was 97 then.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have thought that was a 97-year-old woman?
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah, no way.
So, you know, it's interesting. Some people just age different.
Yeah. And here, I don't like being 40.
Well, when I get there in 12 years, I'll let you know. Did we ever figure out if you like Valentine's Day or not? I don't think you really said much about that.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever, you know, I've never really, I guess I've never really been with anybody who has really cared about it, so it's just not really a big deal to me. But I do think the thing is, though, with if you're in a relationship, you have to know, like, you. I think you both have to agree that you're not going to do anything for each other. You know what I mean? This is just a Hallmark holiday. Like, who cares?
Yeah, but I am. See, here, people think I'm against it, and that's not necessarily true. The problem I have with it is I think it's very tilted toward the woman.
Right.
Which there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it is. Because you even look at the standard gifts, like candy, balloons, chocolate. They're not really men's gifts. So it's definitely slanted toward the woman. And, you know, I'm not really sure what, especially when it's on a Sunday, what you're supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, I think that complicates things. Because when it's during the week, you know, you can send flowers, you can drop off flowers, you can send chocolate, you mm-hmm. can send... Well, on the weekend, it's kind of difficult.
Well, I know people who got flowers today.
Oh, for Valentine's Day.
Right, at work.
Now, was this impressive to you?
I mean, not really.
See, I'm much more about people's birthday, because that date, you know Valentine's Day because it's on commercials. You can't miss it. It's in the store. But people's birthdays aren't like that. You've got to remember people's birthdays, and you've got to know, and you've got to plan, and, you know, to me, that's much more important than Valentine's Day, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a big deal.
I'm trying to think if I ever got anybody anything for Valentine's Day. See, if I did, it clearly did not make an impression on me. Let's see who's on the phone. Go ahead, caller.
Well, what did you think of my idea about sticking it to the man and celebrating Valentine's Day at, like, 75% off?
Well, you mean holding over until, like, Tuesday?
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, who cares about the number on the calendar? I mean, the 14th, the 20th, the 18th, that's all just numbers.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, what is the significance of Valentine's Day to you?
I never put any into it, so I don't know, but that candy's pretty tasty, and I know if you wait a week or two, you can get it for about 75% off, maybe 50%, but...
So it's really not the holiday itself. It's more about just good stuff, like Christmas candy or Thanksgiving stuff or Halloween stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. Anytime there's high fructose corn syrup involved, you can count me in.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yep. Do you think that that's kind of cheesy if you were to actually do that? I mean, do you think it's like... takes away from making it a special occasion if you wait a week or two to give them a dozen roses or whatever the case may be?
I don't know. You know, I guess that's probably all on the person who's getting it. I think if you think it's okay to give it, I think you probably give it. How they take it is probably more the problem. That's probably more on the receiver than the giver.
And you probably wouldn't do that in, like, a new relationship, you know, unless you knew that the person would be cool with it. I mean, if you got some kind of high-maintenance broad, I don't suggest that. But, I mean, if you get you a down-to-earth girl and she's got a mind for money, well, that might be a keeper.
Well, that's right. And I think somebody who wouldn't get mad if they didn't get anything on Valentine's Day, or who wouldn't get mad if they got something 2 weeks late... maybe that is the right person, because they're not hung up on that. They're more just hung up about being around you.
Right. Yeah. Just like when people go to get married, they say if the ring's the problem, the ring ain't the problem. Have you ever heard that?
You know, that's a good saying. I've never heard that, but I think that's the whole thing. I think anything like that. I think if it's looks, I think if it's the way somebody dresses, I think if it's the ring, I think if it's the car they drive, I think if it's how much money's in their bank account, I think if it's what people say about them, I think if you are basing your opinion on anything other than your own opinion of them, there's a problem.
Yeah, because, and you're so true, because eventually all that goes away.
Right. Now, Angie, as the women's opinion, what would you say to this? I don't know that it's really a problem if you hold it for 2 weeks. I don't know if it's a problem if you don't do anything at all.
No, I mean, I don't think so. But, I mean, I've never really expected anything, you know. And I would prefer, I guess people would save their money, you know. I'd rather go out to... you know, save money and go out to dinner, you know, a night or something, but, you know.
Yeah, or even have them cook for you. Like, you wouldn't even have to go out and, you know, if they are a good cook, or maybe you could watch, like, a cooking video that, and you guys could try to make something together, you know, like a romantic candlelight dinner that you all prepared together. I mean, there's just different things if you put your mind to it, you know.
Well, I mean, is it the commercialness of the holiday? I mean, you know...
Right, that's why I say stick it to the man. I mean, Walt Whitman, they're not getting my paycheck.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's also the day that a lot of people get married. It's also the day that a lot of people elope. And it's also the day that a lot of people propose. Now, what is the significance of that?
That's what I'm saying. Why? Because someone told you that February 14th. And then they come up with, they try to sneak this... What is the sweetest day?
Oh, yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Every 10 years, are we going to come up with a new commercial holiday, a reason that I should give someone part of my paycheck?
Well, what do you feel about, I mean, if you are in a relationship, what do you feel about the birthday? Where does the birthday rate? Can you do that on the birthday? Can you wait 2 weeks?
I thought you had a good point. Like, that is a little bit more important because that's specific just to the person.
Right, and I think that if you can remember that and you can do something special for that, you're not going to the Valentine's department, which is pretty easy to do. You know, it's much more, you actually have to know what the person likes or wants on their birthday. On what if you are around somebody who doesn't like chocolates or flowers? And Valentine's really is based in the rose. It's not based in any other flower.
I know. I saw a lot of people carrying roses out of Kroger's today. That seemed to be pretty popular.
Well, and those balloons, those candy bouquets, which
I'm not 100% against it. I mean, whatever makes you happy. I'm just saying, some of that stuff's pretty pricey, and, you know, who told you that you have to show your wife or husband on the 14th that you love them? I mean, that chocolate ain't gonna taste no different on the 25th or the 13th or 14th. I mean, it's just a date.
Right, right. So that's it. And I don't know that... And when it's on a Sunday, what do you do? Because a lot of times you do it so they feel good at work. You know, you send it to their office. I mean, what is the significance if it's just you and them on a Sunday?
I mean, I'm single. Like, I'm not in a relationship. So I've never been lucky in love. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask for, you know, any kind of anything about this. But I'm just saying, like, this time of year, it's cold weather. Maybe you guys just have a nice little cozy dinner inside, snuggle, Lifetime movie, box of chocolates. I don't know. Probably don't feel like getting all dolled up and going out for a night out on the town. Not on Sunday.
Right. And that's
why... what can you even do in this town anyway?
Well, in the pandemic... And, you know, it's President's Day Monday, so a lot of kids are out of school. I see a lot of people going to the Wolf Lodge this weekend, actually doing things that are open.
Hmm. Well, cha-ching, cha-ching, if you've got it like that.
Yeah, that's right. Go enjoy yourself. Well, hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, it's true. Does it matter if you wait a couple weeks?
I think, though, like, if you're in a relationship, I mean, I don't think you should just save something special for one day for a Hallmark holiday. I mean, you should probably show, you know, affection and love to that person throughout the year.
Right. I mean, what if you are really good? Let's say you got people got their stimulus. Let's say you take all $600 of your stimulus and you go and you buy flowers and you buy candy and you buy balloons and you buy some kind of jewelry and you give it to the person and then the next day you're calling them names. I mean, does this make you a good person? Does that absolve everything that you did the Valentine's Day thing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know people who would get really mad if they didn't get a Valentine's Day gift. But I know one year when I was with somebody, they completely forgot my birthday. And I think that hurt my feelings more than anything. Just the fact that they forgot my birthday. And, you know, that was just really disappointing. I don't know. I mean, I don't even expect anything for my birthday. I like to go out to eat for my birthday. But, like, this person didn't even go out to eat with me and my family. Like, they just plumb forgot.
Right. And I think that's... I mean, how do you forget Valentine's Day if you're on planet Earth? I mean, you can't. It's in the stores that week. It's on commercials. It's on calendars. It'll be on your cell phone. It's everywhere. There's no possible way to forget it. So I think you make a choice. Am I going to do this or am I not going to do this?
Right.
And if you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't. Is it really something to get bent out of shape about if you don't do it?
No. I just think as long as you and the other person have an understanding of each other and that, you know, you understand, okay, we're not celebrating this holiday, you know, I think it's fine. But, you know, if you're with somebody and they're expecting something and you don't give them something, then you're in trouble.
We've got a whole another hour coming up. Stay tuned. We're going to break. Back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee,
we welcome to these mics Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
God, how are you?
Doing very